Hey, it's editor Liz here, popping in with a quick note on this episode. When we recorded this episode, She-Ra and the Princesses of Power creator N.D. Stevenson was using a different name and different pronouns. We have edited the episode to reflect his current pronouns and name. This has resulted in us referring to the creator simply as Stevenson throughout the episode and caused a few awkward cuts, but respecting the creator's name and pronouns is way more important than episode flow. So thanks for your support and understanding. If we missed any pronouns or names, please let us know on our Discord, or you can shoot an email to hello@hotbaddies.club. Thanks, and I'll let you get into the Catra episode now. I don't know if we already talked about this, but I did not realize how much vocal fry I had in my voice until I started editing the podcast, and I was like, wow, it's really there.
I don't feel like very knowledgeable about stuff like that, but I just always think like you have a really unique voice that's like very like deadpan, but then you have like really good comedic timing.
I appreciate that.
Basically, it's perfect. So I don't think you should take anything out.
No, I mean, I can't. I think there's probably ways to minimize vocal fry, but I'm not that level of sound engineer. And also I wouldn't, because I know it's a thing that happens, especially with women who have vocal fry in their voice, that people are like, it's really distracting, you should do something about it. And for that reason alone, I'll never ever do anything about it.
I always thought that my voice was really annoying, but for some reason I enjoy that, like like, I think I have like a kind of a little bit of a nasal voice, or I don't know. I don't think I have a very like stereotypical, like good voice, whatever that means either, but it's here. It's not something I'm going to lose sleep over comparatively. Mm-mm.
Definitely not.
So you start the intro and we'll just wing it from there.
Okay. I'm Liz.
And I'm Nico.
And this is the Hot Baddies Club.
Episode 2, or, you know, topic 2.
Part 1.
The spoiler free. This is for anybody who has not seen this character or series and just wants to learn about it. We're going to talk about it and why we're excited. You don't need to know anything. It's newbie friendly, this episode.
Yes, this is our podcast where we talk about hot villains and baddies, bad characters that we love to crush on.
Yeah.
So this episode, we are talking about Catra from She-Ra and the Princesses of Power.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We're so excited.
Yes. Get the hype up. I can't hear you in the back of the room. We're talking about Catra.
Catra.
And if I recall correctly, we made like the Hot Baddies database already had like 100 people in it. And I think you messaged and you were like, Catra. And I was like, oh no, how could we have forgotten it? And I believe your exact message was, I don't know, we fucked up, TBH. Which really says it all. Catra is top like tier. Like, we were like, we got to get her in season one. We can't.
Yeah.
100 yeah. characters, we can't not have Catra immediately.
Yes, exactly. Catra is one that, I mean, we're going to be screaming about a lot of these characters, but we were screaming a lot about Catra.
Yeah, she's special. She's ticks a lot of boxes.
Okay, so for people who don't know who Catra is, Catra is from the series She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. This is a reboot. So we're talking about the 2018 series. Is that right?
Well, I guess I don't know. It's five seasons, right? So it must be a while back. I hate that 2018 right. Seems like a long time ago.
It seems like so long ago. I just did all my research and now I'm just like...
It's like 2018 was the year before we knew things could get worse. That's how I feel.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I'm pretty sure 2018, I still have a Christmas card from my friend. And it said like, Happy New Year. Or it was like a New Year's card or slash Christmas card. It was like... Happy New Year. And it showed a picture of a dumpster fire that said 2018 on it. And it's like, things are almost guaranteed to be better. And I look at that and I just think, my sweet summer child, about myself and my friend from 2018.
Oh, I mean, I think 2019 might just be a me thing, but I had like a lot of like, health issues that year, and I just I definitely remember being like, well, this year was real bad, but definitely 2020 is gonna be better. Anyway, it's 2021 now, almost 2022, which is freaking me out. Sorry, I dated us. We recorded this in the past. Surprise. All right, well, anyways, I interrupted you. Let's talk about She-Ra and Catra. Tell me about She-Ra. What's the sitch?
Okay, here's the sitch. I just had to double check. It is definitely from 2018. It's just, I saw that so many times today and I said it out loud. And I was just like, that can't be right, but it is right. So yeah, She-Ra and the Princesses of Power is a 2018 award-winning animated series. It's produced by DreamWorks. It's available exclusively on Netflix, as far as I know. And part of the reason this show is so good is because the showrunner is a podcast favorite, Stevenson.
Ooh, yeah!
Woo. Give it up. Yeah, it's based on an original series from 1985 by Larry DiTilio and J. Michael Straczynski. I wanted to credit the original creators of those characters. And I don't know who Larry DiTilio is, but J. Michael Straczynski is actually a famous comic book writer. So when I saw his name, I was like, whoa, no way.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. This was definitely like one of the top 80s cartoons and like toy lines.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you are too young to have watched this.
Oh, no. My first interaction with the original She-Ra, or the original like He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, is from that parody music video with He-Man, and
he's like rocking his head back. Yeah,
a cover of What's Going On by the Four Non-Blondes. Yeah, it's
pretty sweet. That
was my first encounter. We'll put that in the show notes.
The early days of internet memes, right?
Yeah. Anyway, so He-Man and the Masters of the Universe was the original series, and then She-Ra was created to be like, oh, we made this series it was basically just a ploy to make action figures.
Yes, that was common.
They were like, well, we have all the boy action figures, so now we need something for girls. So they made She-Ra, and those toys, because it was such a popular show back in the 80s, those toys are actually like very sought after, very popular with collectors. A lot of people grew up with those shows, and the original toys are super expensive.
Yeah, like thousands, right?
Yeah, there's some figures that go for like $4,000 on eBay. They're like so popular.
Dang.
When the reboot was announced and they released some art and stuff, the show actually faced some backlash, which was confusing to me, someone who was too young to see that show and only knew of it as this super bizarre cartoon that you can go, you know, you see clips of and you're just like, what am I even watching? And I had that similar experience doing research because I was like, I'm going to go back and watch some original She-Ra and see like, what is it like? And it was super bizarre and very like dated. But anyway, so they released the new, like some concept art and everything with the show. And I was excited because I was like, oh my God, Stevenson is going to be doing it. So of course I'm going to check it out, even though I don't care about She-Ra. But the original fans, some of them, there was a contingent that was upset because so much was different. The style is very different. They changed a lot of character models. They were intentional about diversity for skin color, body type, sexuality, and personalities. And there was some backlash about that, which I think is kind of a garbage take because...
Look,
that show, it was created, they specifically created these shows to sell action figures and they like to make the production of the action figures cheaper and mass produce them. They could only use one body type. So every character had one body type.
That's what I was wondering, was like, wasn't it something where like to make the toys cheaper? They wanted the characters basically have all the same body, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's literally no diversity. There's only when I was watching clips and stuff and looking at pictures from like the wiki for He-Man and Masters of the Universe and everything, there's only one dark skinned character that I found, which is Natasa, who's also darker skinned in the reboot. But it's just like everyone's white, everyone's skinny and like ripped.
Does she toss nets?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't even get into that. Listen, the naming for She-Ra characters is wild. Castaspella, what does she do? Cast spells. Spinnerella, what does she do? She spins in circles really fast. Natasa tosses nets. Bo shoots a bow and arrow. Like, we are not, we're not reaching very far for these.
It's educational, okay? It's like a show for five-year-olds or, you know.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so about the backlash. So just like blanket statement here, like nostalgia is something everybody goes through. And I think that we, as you get, quote, older, meaning like literally in your 30s, which is not that old, but like even from that point onward, I think you just can't help this feeling of like rose-tinted glasses about things you loved when you were a kid, right? And I think people really have to like understand that when things get upgraded and rebooted, they're meant to appeal to kids of a totally different generation. And that's fine. And it doesn't mean anything's wrong with the version you liked, because that was like your generation. But I think, I wonder if it's partly that you're like, oh my God, I'm old because people don't like things the way I liked them or something. Mm-hmm. And partly that's just so special to you because it's like, you know, often something that like was like at a time in your life where you were evolving your tastes and your identity and personality. So it feels somehow more personal if somebody changes that thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it can be hard to engage with that. And, you know, I think it's totally fair to be like, oh, I have a hard time, like, trying out this media, this new She-Ra, because She-Ra is something totally different to me. And that's totally fair. There's things like that where they do reboots and I'm like, well, if it was named something else, then I think I would have had an easier time engaging with it. But even the things we love, we have to be able to criticize and think about in a critical way. And
yeah,
objectively, 99.9% of the characters in the original series are white and skinny and ripped. And like, that's not, they're making a TV show and trying to make sure more kids feel seen and like have a fun character to look up to that's powerful and strong and cool that looks more like them. I don't know. I think it's a cool thing.
Yeah. In general, it's like gatekeeping is bad. Like, I don't know how else to say that. Like, it's totally fine to be like, hey, me personally, I don't like this new take, but don't be mad that other people like it. It's all right for other people to like it. And I think sometimes when we're really passionate about our opinions, it comes across like, you're wrong if you don't think exactly like me, right? And I wish there was just a lot less of that on the internet, you know, and a lot more of like, yeah, like this is what I thought was cool when I was a kid. And like, you have to understand it's still made for kids. This is hard. This is a hard concept for me to grasp and probably everybody who's like within 20 years of age of me. But like, you know, I made it sound like I'm like ancient now, but anyway, you know, it's just like, come on, like you have to understand that like a lot of this materials, it's like reading a young adult book. Like if I have a problem that young adult book is too kiddish, that's probably my problem because I am not a young adult. You know, I like reading young adult books because a lot of the concepts and materials there, they're harder to find in other genres. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a naming problem, but I would much rather that young adult books actually be aimed at young adults than aimed at adults that for some reason still read them.
Yeah, Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And yeah, I think when I said it was a garbage take, I think it's a garbage take, this like section of criticism that's upset that these characters aren't like super sexualized anymore. And it's like, show for children. I'm sorry you don't think She-Ra's hot anymore because she actually looks like a teenager and she's supposed to be a teenager. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Sorry.
It's like the resistance to change, you know? Yeah. You see this in so many big franchises, but you know, there's always a new generation growing up with it. Yeah, that's interesting because like the characters are quote hot still. They're just drawn different. Like they're like,
we're gonna get into it. We're gonna get into it. Everyone's still hot. They're just not like 80s like eyeshadow up to your eyebrow, like plunging necklines. Everyone's wearing a leotard hot.
Yeah.
Big shrug. I keep doing a shrug like anybody else can see that but you. Shrug.
Oh, shrug.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of nods to the original show. Almost every single character that appears in the new show was in the original show. They might just look different or have a different origin story, but I thought that was really fun. And it was kind of like those were Easter eggs for people who were fans of the original show.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, when I looked it up, it was like almost every character. Like I started doing research and then I finished the end of the series. And there were these characters that popped up that I was like, oh, that's kind of random. And then I saw them in my research on the wiki and I was like, oh, nothing is an accident.
Yeah, the ones that they find like in that planet and it's like, who the heck are these people? But they're like really cool.
Yeah, the like Star Kids or whatever. They come from the other series. Almost everyone comes from the other series. So I think that's really cool.
That is cool. I mean, that shows like a real love for the original material, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people who loved and had fond feelings of the original She-Ra that worked on this show. And that really shows. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know a little more about the history of He-Man and She-Ra, there is a really good episode of Toys You Made Us, which is on Netflix, and I'll drop the name of it into the show notes. But they have one on He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And also, Miko, you said that this pairs well with the Barbie episode because you can kind of see the like how difficult the market was, like how cutthroat the market was for toys.
Yeah, so some of the people that worked on that they interviewed for the She-Ra toys also were in the Barbie episode. And I mean, the Barbie, like the people who talk about the Barbie stuff, they are like really cutthroat. They're like, we are the best. Barbie is the top of the line. And here's all the ways we made sure it would be that way. And it's like, oh my God. Like there's like so much to unpack there. And so from what I remember, I don't know if you watched it or rewatched the He-Man one, but I remember with the She-Ra, it was something like they were like, you don't understand girls' toys. Like, we're taking over She-Ra. Like, they were like coming in to support the He-Man creators because they're like, no, you want girls' toys? We do girls' toys. We're the Barbie team or something. It was like pretty wild. Wow. It was very fun to watch. Yeah. And then was He-Man the episode? There's definitely one episode where they didn't have a story. And they went in to pitch the toys and the people who were going to approve it were like, okay, but what's the story for the cartoon? And like right there, they just had to make up like his name is He-Man and he does this. And like that was the story.
Yeah, because it was like basically they were like Conan the Barbarian is really popular right now. And they were like He-Man's basically Conan the Barbarian, but we're going to change up the colors and make him blonde and like we're going to make a toy line. And they were like, okay, great. What's the story for the show? And then exactly what you said.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And then like, before we move on, like what's just like the top level summary? Like what's the plot of She-Ra in like one or two sentences?
Yeah, that's fair.
If you can.
Okay. So She-Ra is about, I don't know. I did a synopsis of like who She-Ra and Catra are. I feel like that's kind of...
It's hard to summarize, I think, because it's kind of like a sci-fi show, but it's kind of like a magical princess show, too.
Okay, so She-Ra and the Princesses of Power is a story about an orphaned girl named Adora who ends up finding a magical sword that transforms her into a mythical warrior named She-Ra and realizes that she needs to help the rebellion against the group that she grew up with named the Horde. And along the way, she makes friends and gets a family and things like that. That's like the synopsis of the show. And that synopsis doesn't include Catra. So we have to have like another synopsis for Catra. Like, how does Catra fit into that? How do you feel about that synopsis?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think like, it's like, how do you explain like what else? It's almost, it's like kind of a fantasy show. I know that's later, we're going to get more into it, but like, it's kind of a fantasy show and a sci-fi show. Like, it has elements of both. Yeah. So I think in general, like really broad strokes, if you like Star Wars, which is both kind of fantasy and sci-fi, like if you like things like that, then you'll probably be interested in this. And then it definitely has like that, you know, magical powers, like the, like all these princesses have different powers that they have to use in different ways. And they're all like fighting these, like, you know, there's all these, there's definitely a lot of like action sequences too. So it's kind of an action. It's not really a mystery show. It's, I think it's fair to say it's kind of like a war, like a magical war show.
Yeah. It's, you're following this team of, or this group of like the scrappy rebellion fighting against the big, bad, evil invaders.
I guess that is pretty Star Wars-esque when you put it that way, but just different aesthetic.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's just, there's a big cast of characters. Like the main ones are She-Ra and Catra and then the other princesses, but there's a lot of just like different characters that are coming in and out and have their own arcs and everything. So there's just a lot. There's a lot of characters to love. And once you have your favorite, like you will see them fairly often.
Yeah, there's definitely like that cast, like you said, where like everybody can kind of pick a different person that they relate to.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a summary. I didn't feel like there were that many tie-ins. Like obviously there's merchandise and there is some cool stuff I didn't know about that's on the DreamWorks website that I had no clue. Apparently there's a mobile game that's like a match 3 mobile game. There's like a VR experience that's on the website.
Oh no. I might have to go check all this out.
And there's some cute printable stuff that they have, like Valentine's Day cards that you can print out. I mean, other than the original series, like I didn't feel like there was a lot of tie-ins to get into. But
I'm sure there was tons of merchandise. Like it seems like a show that was really popular.
Yeah, it still is, I feel like.
Yes. I actually was looking at the Tumblr today to look at more fan art. So I don't know how, we should probably not put this in, but I saw several posts today that were like about Arcane, the new League of Legends, and they were like memes of people throwing She-Ra on the floor because they have Arcane now. So I don't know what that's about, but.
Oh, I'm really curious because even while we were doing research for the show, I would get randomly like recommended to me by the TikTok algorithm, She-Ra TikToks. And the show's been over for a year now. So, okay. So high level, spoiler free, who's Catra though? So we talked about She-Ra. We talked about the show. We talked about the original show, but who is Catra? So She-Ra and Catra are the best Horde soldiers. And the Horde is like the evil invading force. And we start just, this is very early, like the first episode or two of this 5-season show. Yeah. So we start out following them and they're like, they're BFFs. They're really good at fighting, but it kind of becomes apparent over that first couple episodes that although they're kind of making the best of it and being best friends, the environment they're in is pretty toxic. And Adora and Catra are always kind of pitted against each other by their toxic parental figures. And they keep being pitted against each other, but Adora is like more talented. Adora has more skills and Adora always comes first. And that's really hard on Catra, who's her best friend, but also her biggest rival inside this army, right? So, oh, they're both orphans also, which, like, maybe all the Horde soldiers are orphans. It's not a good place.
All the Horde soldiers that are named are very different in looks from each other. Like, yeah. One of them's a giant lizard. So,
yeah.
Like, it does seem like it's possible everybody is, like, an orphan that gets picked up by them.
Yeah. For this. So, Adora has her inciting incident moment where she comes across the sword and she's like, oh my god, we're the baddies and I don't want to do this anymore, and like destroy villages and kill people. These people are actually innocent, and like I'm questioning everything. And Catra thinks that she's captured and tries to come rescue her, and Adora's like, no wait, you don't understand, come with me, like I'm gonna go join the rebellion and the princesses. And Catra mm-hmm. can't deal with this and can't like process it and goes back, like leaves yeah. Adora, and feels very abandoned. Even though Adora was like, come with me, she's like, oh, you're gonna choose your new princess friends over me, and I'm not good enough to be your friend. And like that's very much like Catra's whole like issue is feeling abandoned by her best friend, who was also her biggest rival. So when Catra goes back to the Horde and Adora's not there, and she can like tell on Adora and be like, Adora abandoned us for the rebellion. Since she was always number two, she's now number one. And everything that she couldn't do because Adora was better than her, she gets because Adora's gone. So you have this like the toxicity of them always being pitted against each other, and her abandonment issues lead yeah. her to be like her arch nemesis. They go from like friends to enemies, basically. And that's Catra. Catra, she's very emotional. She's a very emotionally driven person. And she makes a lot of bad decisions, but I think it's pretty relatable, like why she does the things that she does. And she's coming from such a hurt place. So if you like that kind of baddie, that's like also a big yeah. saddie, Catra's here.
Yeah. So and there's it's really impressive the arcs that all the characters go on in this show.
Yeah.
Like it's much deeper, more nuanced than I expected when we started watching it. And like, I mean, everything just feels really relatable from Catra. I also we'll talk about this a bit more, but it's not like she's like pathetic either. She's actually very smart and she's very good at what she does. It's just that Adora was always favored, and maybe Adora is like a little bit better than her. But as we see, part of the conflict with her is once Adora joins the rebellion and becomes like one of the good guys, like Catra's like, well, now I'm in control. But if Adora does come back, she'll be in control again. So she's also like fighting her own pride. She's, you know, there's just like so many issues going on with yeah. her. And then also she has a lot of flair, right? Like when she's doing a big battle or a big, you know, plot twist where she's like tricked them all or something. She's very, mm-hmm. like has a very badass like attitude and likes to gloat when she knows she's in control, right?
Yeah.
Which is very fun to watch.
If someone with like a kind of like sultry voice says, hey, Adora, and that does anything for you, you'll love Catra.
Yeah, and you'll get there in like 3 minutes, by the way. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah, the voice is a very important part of this, yeah. too.
Also, I feel like we have to mention, in case anyone listening has no idea who 2018 Catra is, she is like a cat person hybrid.
She's a cat girl.
Yeah, that's not important to me, but it is important to some people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about the history of cat girls, but they do have a long history in the world of anime. And like, she literally has cat ears and a tail. Like she
yeah, is and part claws.
Cat. And the personality yeah. is, she is very cat-like in personality. So if you're like a cat person at all, this is probably the character for you.
Also, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, so you can tell me if I'm not. But yeah, I can cut it out. But so it is like a big friends to enemies, and then to
question mark,
because it is a show that's rated like TV like 7. It's for children. It's literally for children. So there's no I mean, if you know literally any single thing about She-Ra, you know that there's a... I should probably cut it out.
It's a hard one. Yeah.
Because if you don't know...
Well...
I'll cut it out.
It's... Look, how about this, okay? It's like friends to enemies and... And, like, I think even when before the show came out, people were wondering, like... So you'll have to listen to the spoiler version to find out.
I think this is fair to say, actually. It's friends to enemies. And then there's like a lot of tension in there. Like, yes. Will they become friendly with each other again? And like,
yeah.
Why do they feel so strongly about each other?
And how friendly?
Yes, that part's fair to say. And then you'll have to watch the show and then come back
or listen to our next episode. Yes, watch the show. Please watch the show. Well, wait, we're not there yet, but don't listen to the next one till you've watched it.
All right, okay,
tell me about how you found out about this show.
I think I mentioned already, like, I'd never saw She-Ra. I knew about He-Man from that music video and the Toys Who Made Us episode. Amazing. Or the Toys That Made Us. And I heard Stevenson was doing the show. And that's why I was like, okay, well, I'm on board. Like, I'm definitely going to try it. That's how I learned about it.
Right. Okay. So when did you start watching it then? Like, when it first came out?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I didn't watch it all the way straight through. I started watching it when it came out. We'll get to this part in the like best and worst things. But I definitely tried it like right when it came out. And I was like, this is fun.
Okay, so for me, like, to be honest, I'm not super into, like, American, like, wacky cartoons, which is, like, I guess what I call, like, Adventure Time, you know, like, things mm-hmm. that a lot of my friends are, like, really into, and I recognize they're cool, but they just don't, like, I'm also not just a big comedy person in general, so the comedy is kind of, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't usually enjoy this, but it doesn't mean they're not good. It just means I don't usually like it. So what happened with me is just like a ton of good friends telling me, like, you have to watch She-Ra. Like, you don't understand. You have to watch She-Ra. It's so good. And I was like, yeah, okay. But kind of like with the same energy that, like, when people are like, you must watch Parks and Rec or like Community or like whatever, like insert any comedy show. I just go like, yeah, okay, but I probably won't watch it.
Yeah.
But then I was, you know, the YouTube algorithm recommended me this channel called Are They Gay? And it was the She-Ra and Catra episode. And I was like, I'll just watch this because I watch a lot of like YouTube commentary on pop culture and stuff. First of all, we'll put it in the show notes. This channel's really funny. This episode is very funny and actually really good summary of the series. When he made the episode, they hadn't finished yet. But there's this one part in the YouTube video that we'll talk about extensively where he's like, and then Catra wears this outfit and does this with Adora. And when I saw that, it was like little fireworks went off in my head. Like, I could not believe that was actually in the show. And yeah. I was just like, we have to watch the show. Like, I mean, yeah. It was like, that's it. I'm watching the show. So we, you know, my husband's very open-minded to watch like anything really that I will watch. And he likes comedy a lot more than me. So he was like, yes, please stop watching horror movies. Like, can we watch something funny? So we ended up watching it and everything was out by then. So we got to like binge it. And I loved it way more than I thought I would. Like, laughed and cried. And just like, I was very tender and emotional through most of the series. So shout out to Are They Gay? Check them out on YouTube. Very funny show on YouTube. And this was, they did their job. They got me to watch the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I didn't finish the whole thing, but I did watch part of that YouTube episode and it was very funny. Like those two, the two hosts of the show are really funny. Okay. So if people still aren't sold, what if they like other things? Wait, I'm not saying this right.
Why would you watch She-Ra?
Yeah, why would you watch She-Ra?
Yeah.
So if you like any other Stevenson stuff, you should try this because it has Stevenson's like fingerprints all over it.
Personality. Yeah. So Nimona.
Lumberjanes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you like sexual tension between women, there's a lot of that. If you want to see women dancing with each other and generally just being really cute together, if that's something you think needs to be in your life, it's here. Yep.
Yep.
And there's actually a lot of different potential pairings and actual pairings in this show, too.
Yeah. If you like bright and like funny cartoons, you'll probably like this. It's very bright. It definitely has that like American animation style.
Yeah, it's really well animated. The environments are really interesting. The character designs are really fun and unique.
Yeah, it's very bubbly. I will say, though, that if you start watching it and you're like, this is too bubbly for me,
it gets darker.
I would still say try it.
Yeah.
Still try it. We'll talk about this when we talk about how to watch it.
It gets deeper and darker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, there's some parts like, there's actually some really interesting narrative things they do that are more like trippy, like with like chronological order and stuff like that, too. So, yeah, it's got like the fun cartoony side, you know, kind of like slapstick humor stuff, but it also has a lot more going on. And like you mentioned before, there's a lot of diverse representation, which is really cool.
Yeah, very like intentionally done to try to change up some of the characters, the body types, the sexuality, the skin tones, backstories, things like that. They went in and tried to make that more diverse for sure.
Yeah.
And if you love big active fandoms, you will love She-Ra because it has a very large fandom. There's a lot of fan art. There's a lot of YouTube videos of scene collections. There's everything. You can find anything. There's
like these crack meme videos on YouTube. They're so funny. And I saw today somebody is making like a fan visual novel for that's like one of the scenes from season 5 and they're like animating it all. Wow. Like, it's just so cool. Like, there's so much stuff out there. I don't even know. I have not opened the fan fiction door, but I'm sure it's there. I'm sure the vault is massive for that one. So. Yeah.
And even for like side characters that aren't even mentioned that much, there's just so much love for them and so much content. So you would be in good company if you want to get into this show and get into that.
Yes.
So that's getting close to the end of it for part one. But in part two, which will be the next episode, we will go over our tags for the character, which is how they're classified in the Hot Baddie database. We'll go over first impressions, their looks of personality. Is Catra relationship material? We're going to have some listen along games and give them a rating and conspiracies and induct them into the club.
And much more.
And much more. I'm sure there will be lots of other stuff we talk about.
There'll be a lot of screaming. I'm preemptively drinking my tea.
Yeah.
Because this is going to get rough on my throat or something. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. So as usual, here's the part where we try to help you consume this thing. If you've listened to the Vegeta episode, you know that was a lot to take in to figure out how do you watch or read Dragon Ball Z. But in this case, it's actually much more straightforward. We do recommend that you watch all the seasons because we're going to be spoiling the ending. And the ending is like a pretty big part of, it's like really big for the character, but also big for the whole series. So
yeah.
Yeah. Watch the ending.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, I wanted to say like, if you start watching it, because it was a little hard for me because just like the style of the humor is like not my favorite, but I would say if you start watching it and you're like, yeah, this is too bubbly for me because it is a kid show, find a skip list. Make sure you watch like something that has a lot of episodes in season 4 and like all of season 5, and you'll like that a lot better.
Yeah, and you have to watch the prom episode in season 1.
Yeah. You have to watch Princess Prom. You have to watch a lot of season five, like the last season.
Yeah, season five is like wildly, like a ton of plot happens. That's true.
Yeah. It's also my favorite season, like hands down. I just thought it was really great. So yeah, if you can't really stand it, at least, you know, watch some videos and then watch the last season.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you'll find like it definitely, like, the humor style even changes a little bit. Like, it's still slapsticky, but I feel like the different characters have different approaches to that kind of goofiness too. Mm-hmm. So like the more characters that join the cast, the more like flavors there are of that kind of stuff. You can watch it on Netflix. And then I tried to see where you could buy it online. It looks like it's just available for purchase digitally in a lot of places. And then I found a DVD for seasons 1 to 3, but I'm not sure if they have like all of the thing on DVD.
Yeah. I mean, they made it to be streamed on Netflix, but yeah, you might be able to buy DVDs or Blu-rays or something of it. I guess this is part of the tie-ins. There are shorts on YouTube that are just with the character Swiftwind, which if you don't like the bubbly, slapsticky jokes, this is not for you.
Yeah, they're really short and they're not necessary to the plot. I did watch all of them, and I think there's also a couple where like Bo is like live streaming or something. But yeah, you're not missing much. It's okay. You don't have to see them.
Yeah.
Unless you're really into the horse.
Yep. So go watch that and then come back for part two.
Yep. And once again, this is the Hot Baddies Club. I'm Miko, and until next time, you can find me on Twitch or on Twitter as Dr. Mikachu.
And I'm Liz. You can find me on Twitter at LizMakes and almost everywhere else at Illuminated Space. You can find the podcast at Hot Baddies Club almost everywhere except for Instagram is Hot Baddies Club Podcast. Hot Baddies Club on Instagram is not us.
Or TikTok.
Yeah, or TikTok. No, we are Hot Baddies Club on TikTok.
Oh, but there's another Hot Baddies Club on TikTok we discovered.
Yeah. Anyway, you'll know.
You'll know which one is us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check the website for the show notes.
And oh, yeah. Hotbaddies.club is the website. And on the website, you can get links to all of our links to everything. Hotbaddies.club/links. Our theme song is The Hot Baddies Club by Ryako. You can find the song and the rest of her amazing music on her Bandcamp website, ryako.bandcamp.com. That's ryako.bandcamp.com. You can join our Discord community by going to discord.hotbaddies.club.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's probably the best way to hang out with us. So. You awakened inside me, a feeling I cannot deny. You impress me, possess me, the thought of you gets me so high. Wanna stay here forever, the rest of the world can go by. But I don't know why. I'm like, have we forgotten how to do this? Like,
yeah, like, I did. I 100% already did.
I'm like, I hope we're still funny.
We'll find out, I guess.